Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah, chapter 45, and verse 22. Isaiah 45, verse 22. These words. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And our subject this morning is looking unto the Lord. Well, these words come to us, of course, in the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And, well, this will be somewhat of an Isaiah day, as we'll be looking at another chapter in the book of Isaiah this evening. And well, it is a book that deserves great attention, of course. Isaiah himself, just to give some historical context, he was born in Jerusalem around 760 BC, so just over 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his life and ministry. He lived in a tumultuous time concerning Judah and Jerusalem. They were greatly threatened by the Assyrian Empire. That was the major world power in that time when Isaiah lived. And well, indeed, the northern kingdom of Israel had already fallen to the Assyrians during Isaiah's lifetime. And Judah in the south had come perilously close to falling to their enemies, but they had been miraculously delivered. And well, many of you will know very well the story of King Hezekiah and how Judah was delivered from the Assyrians. But Isaiah did prophesy that there would come a day, sadly, when Judah itself would fall, when Jerusalem would fall. And well, it certainly did when the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar came calling in 586 BC. Jerusalem would fall, but well, God would deliver them once again. That was the teaching of Isaiah. Jerusalem would fall, but there would be a time when God would deliver them, would bring them back. And not only does that mean that God would restore them physically to the land, physically to Jerusalem, but really, when God was speaking of the deliverance of Israel, he is speaking of the coming of Christ. That is really what is being spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Yes, there will be judgment upon the land. Yes, there will be judgment for the children of Israel, but there is deliverance coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. The gospel age is coming. And Isaiah's prophecies, they are essentially speaking about the gospel age, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah seems to have such a clear understanding of the Lord Jesus, of the details of his birth, the details of his life, the details of his death. Well, in Isaiah 53, it's very often quoted, but you get such an insight into why the Lord Jesus Christ died, how he was bruised for our transgressions, how he was our substitute. He suffered and died for us. Isaiah seems to have such a great understanding of this, even though he lived 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. And well, many people, of course, have a problem with this. How can a prophet who lived so long before the Lord Jesus Christ know anything about him? Well, just to remind you very briefly, all of the Old Testament prophets, how did they know anything at all? Well, it's because they were inspired by God. They did not speak what was in their limited minds. They did not give their opinions about any such thing. They spoke the word of God. That is what they did. That is what all the apostles and the prophets most certainly did. And we see this in this chapter. Look at verse 14 just briefly. Thus saith the Lord. This is the word of God. This is not Isaiah speaking here. And then in verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. Isaiah is not saying this is my word. these are my opinions. He's saying, thus saith the Lord. And this is what we have to understand about this book and about the prophet Isaiah. And in verse 22, which will be our focus this morning, well, this is most certainly the word of the Lord. This is not Isaiah's saying. Verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Isaiah, of course, he's not speaking about himself. He speaks the word of God. And these are tremendous words. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Well, the first thing we can say about this verse is notice how it is directed to all the ends of the earth. It's not just for Israel. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, not just for one nation, not just for one people. This God, the God of Israel, is for all men, all the ends of the earth. And I'll speak about this a little more a bit later. But again, this is something we have to understand about the Christian faith. It is for all people. We often get accused of being narrow-minded. You Christians are so narrow-minded. You Christians say that you are the only true religion and all the other religions, well, you just dismiss them. You say that all the other religions are false and so on. Well, isn't that bigoted? Isn't that wicked? Well, yes, we do say that the Christian faith is the only true religion. But do you realize that this religion is for all men? It is, in fact, if you look at all the religions of the world, this is the only religion that reaches out to all men, to all the ends of the earth. So many of the other religions, they are tied to a nation. They're tied to an ethnicity. They're tied to a culture, but not this one. Even from the days of the Old Testament, it was very clear. This is a religion, this is a God for all nations, for all men. And so this is how we approach our evangelism. This is how we present the gospel. There is no discrimination. We do not preach to some people and not to others. It's to all men, whether they are rich, whether they are old, or poor rather, whether they are young, whether they are old. We preach to everybody. This is a God, this is a religion, a faith for all men. And this is the glory of the gospel. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And by the way, that doesn't just mean geographically, all the nations of the world. It means historically as well. Throughout all of time, in every age, people have been called to know this God and to trust in him and to have faith in him. The whole world, throughout all of history, from the beginning to the very end, all people will be called to come to this God. So we are not narrow-minded. This is perhaps the most inclusive religion of all, because it reaches out, it calls out to all the ends of the earth. And this is something that, well, is so often forgotten about the Christian faith. But let's spend the rest of our time looking at that word, look. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me. Why do we have to look unto God? Maybe there are some people here, they think, why do I have to look to God? Why do I have to have anything to do with God at all? Maybe there are some people who think this. Why do we have to look unto him? Well, because of who he is. This is a good starting point for us. We look to God because he is our God. A little while ago, I was driving through South London, and I passed through Tooting on my way to the Trinitarian Bible Society. And when I was driving down the main high street, I saw a huge crowd outside one of the clothes shops there. And well, this crowd, it was very large. They had their mobile phones out. The security was out in force at the front of the shop. And well, I couldn't see who was in the shop, but I knew it must be somebody very important because of what was going on. And well, everybody was very attentive. Everybody was anxious to get a look of who was in there. When they come out, when this person comes out, we're going to get a good look. And well, it was only later that I realized that none other than His Royal Highness Prince Charles was in that shop. Yes, in Tooting, seems amazing. But he was in that place, and that was why there was such a great crowd. They wanted to see him. Well, this is the prince, the future king. We're not going to give up this opportunity to get a glimpse of this man. He's so famous. He's so important. I need to get a look at him. That's what the people were there for. Well, in the same way, this is why we ought to look at God, because of who he is. He is your God. He's not just a prince, an earthly king. He is God. And well, we could look at many verses, even in this chapter, that speak to us of the greatness of this God. Verse 18, for example, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens." He created the heavens, stretched out the skies. "God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited." Not only did he create the world, he created all the life. He created us. We would not be here if it were not for our Creator God. Does he not deserve to be at least acknowledged? Does he not deserve to be looked at and to be sought after? There are so many people, they don't want to acknowledge God. This is the tragedy of the modern age. God is our Creator. God has made all things. God shows such mercy toward us each and every day. He provides for us each and every day. And yet people don't want to even look at him, acknowledge him. But dear friends, we must. He is the creator of all men. Again, in every nation, he has created all men. Yes, there are many religions. But you know, well, the gods of Asia didn't create the Asians. The gods of Africa didn't create the Africans. The pagan gods of Europe, you can think of the gods of the Greeks and the Romans that were worshipped, they didn't create them. It's only this God who has created us. And therefore, we ought to look to him because of who he is, the God who created all things, and that is why he calls all men to him. But there's more to this word look than just that. Look in the Hebrew, well, it could be translated turn, and it quite often is translated turn in other Bible versions. Turn unto me. Well, that would make sense. If somebody calls you and you turn around, well, you do generally look at them. It's not often that you turn around and don't look at someone when you're called. But this is what the Lord is doing in the gospel age. He is calling us to turn to him and to look upon him. That is what we are to do. And the great sense of that word turn, well, really that means if we turn to God, we have to turn away from something else. That is really what the meaning of this word is. You turn to God, you turn away from something else, from the world, from false idols, particularly in the time in which Isaiah lived. The other nations of the world had their false idols that they worshipped. And God is saying, turn away from them, turn to me. And that is what he says even now in the modern age. There are still idols in this age. Of course there are. In our society, in Western society, or let me put it to you this way. There are things in this world that keep us from God, that keep us from turning to him. What is it? If there is anybody here, you don't want to turn to God. What is it that is keeping you from turning to God? Is it a love for status, perhaps? People love their status in society. I can't turn to God, they tell you. They think to themselves, I can't turn to God because, well, all my friends would laugh at me. I'll lose my status amongst my peers, so I'm not going to turn to God. When we turn to God, we have to turn away from our status. We have to turn away from self-importance. That is what we have to do. Maybe you don't want to turn to God because of worldly pleasures, The world is so full of pleasures. You like these things. You like to go out. You like to do what you want. You like to break some rules. You know you couldn't do that if you were a follower of God. So that's why you don't turn to him. Perhaps it's your plans for your life. Youngsters particularly, they seem to have their whole lives mapped out in front of them. They tell you, I can't be religious, I can't be a Christian, because I'm going to go to university, and then I'm going to do this job, and then I'm going to do this, this, and this. That's your idol. That's what you worship. You won't turn to God because you want your career, because you want your own plans. Dear friends, if you turn to God, you must turn away from all of those things. You must put aside everything that keeps you from turning to God. You must repent, dear friends. That's the way it's put in the Bible, repentance and turning to the Lord. Look unto me, says God. Look unto him. Turn away from the world, dear friends. If you look to God, well, you will see his beauty. You will see how glorious he is. Maybe you've never really looked at God. That's why you don't want him. If you were only to look at him, read the word of God, read about how good he is, how kind he is, how merciful, how gracious, how eager he is to forgive you all your sin. The more you look at God, the more beautiful he becomes in your sight. Any Christian can tell you that. Christians who have walked with God for so many years, they say, the longer I've walked with God, I've seen his beauty in clearer sight. He doesn't deteriorate. It's the world that deteriorates. If you want to stay in this world, the world gets worse the longer you live in it. The more you look at the world, the more you see how bad it is. That's the contrast. You know, some people, I just tell them, look at the world around you. Look at how the world has rejected God. And look at what has happened in that time. Look at all the chaos. Look at all the confusion. Look at all the violence. Look at all the depression. Look at all the suicide. Just look at the world around you and see the results of what happens when you turn away from God. Dear friends, are you looking at these things? Are you actually looking? Don't bury your head in the sand and think the world is a lovely place. I know some people, they never watch the news. Why? Because they don't want to get depressed. They don't want to see what the world is really like. They want to think that the world is a nice, lovely place and we can all live wonderful lives without religion, without God. They just hide themselves and bury their heads in the sand. Dear friends, turn to God, look at him, and you will see glorious and wonderful things. This is what we read here. Look unto me and be ye saved. Well, time is running on, but look at this second part of the verse. Look unto me and be ye saved. This is why God calls us to look unto him, because he's the only one who can save us. If you were, for example, trapped in a burning building, would you not look for the fireman? If you were at the window, you wouldn't care about anybody else running around. You'd be looking for your rescue. If you were stranded at sea, would you not be looking out for any other boat to come and rescue you? That's what you'd be looking out for. You wouldn't be looking at the sun or the scenery or so on. You'd be looking for salvation. Somebody come and rescue me. God is saying, look unto me and be ye saved. The Christian faith is about salvation. Is that your faith, dear friends? I have to ask this because it seems in the modern church there are so many people, they've lost this concept of salvation. Christianity for them is just about church attendance or just about being religious and singing hymns. They don't seem to have any awareness of actually being saved. They don't know what they're saved from. Dear friends, this is all the way through the scripture. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. Is he not called a savior? Of course he is. He has come to save us. We are in great danger, dear friends. What danger are we in? We are in great spiritual danger. Our souls are in danger. Our eternal souls. We speak about this so often. Our souls are eternal. We are not just flesh and blood. Our souls, well, they are the most important part of us. They are never dying souls. Where will our souls spend eternity? Where will they go when we die? Will they be saved or will they be lost? Lost because of sin. We all have to give an account of ourselves before God. There is a great and coming day, fast approaching, we read in the scriptures, a day of judgment when we shall all appear before God. Everybody, believers and unbelievers, we shall all appear before God. And we shall have to give an account of our lives. Dear friends, are you aware of this day? Are you looking for this day? Dear friends, we all know what happens when somebody doesn't look what is coming ahead of them. We all know if somebody gets into a car and starts to drive without looking ahead of him, he will crash. Of course he will. He will crash, he will die. Well, is that like you spiritually in your life? You're just going from day to day. You're not thinking about your soul. You're not thinking about eternity. You're not thinking about God. You're not actually looking forward when you have to stand before God. Dear friends, when that day comes, you will crash. If you have to stand before God without Christ, well, then there will be condemnation for us, but God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. He saved us on the cross of Calvary. That is what we understand. We see Christ, as it were. A Christian, he sees Christ on the cross, not, of course, with his natural eyes. Of course, we can't see him with our eyes, but it's the eye of faith that sees the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we see Christ on the cross at Calvary. We see him dying there for our sins, the sins that I have committed. I have faith that when he died, he took upon himself the punishment for me. I believe that. I know that. That is what it is to look unto Christ. That is what it is to look to God. You have faith. You have faith that Christ on the cross died for you. He loved you so much that he took upon himself the punishment for your sin. That's what it is to look to God, to look to Christ with faith. Dear friends, this is the lesson of this glorious verse. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Well, we're almost out of time, dear friends, but just two more things to say about that word look, very briefly, 5 minutes, less than that. Look unto me. Well, looking is so easy. God is not asking us to do something hard, to pass some sort of exam, to go through some ritual or some religious act. God is calling us to look. Just look, just believe, just have faith. That is what the Lord is asking us to do. Will we not do that? Just look to God. If it was something hard, then perhaps you would have an excuse for your unbelief. But you don't have an excuse if you're an unbeliever here today. God is only asking you to look to him. It demands no great effort. And secondly, God says, look unto me because he may be found of you. God would not say, look to me and then hide himself. Is that what you think? I've known seekers. They say this to you. They say they don't want to seek God because they're afraid they won't find him. That is impossible, dear friends. That is impossible. God says, look unto me because he may be found. If you seek him, if you desire him, if you pray to him, he will not hide himself. He has called you to look unto me. So look, Pray to him even this day. If you don't know him, if you've never prayed, pray to him this day. Say, Lord, I want to see you. Give me that faith in Christ. Give me that faith that saves. How much I need it. How much I need the forgiveness of all my sin. So these are the lessons. Look unto me. Acknowledge God. Turn to God. Turn away from everything else. Know him. Know his salvation, his mercy, and his love. These are the words of our gracious God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Well, dear friends, let us close our thinking, turning in our hymn books to hymn number 390. Hymn number 390. And this will help us as we consider these things in our hearts. Hymn number 390. Lord, I was blind. I could not see in thy marred visage any grace. But now the beauty of thy face in radiant vision dawns on me. Lord, I was deaf. I could not hear the thrilling music of thy voice. But now I hear thee and rejoice, and sweet are all thy words and dear. Lord, I was dumb, I could not speak the grace and glory of thy name. But now, as touched with living flame, my lips thine eager praises wake. Lord, I was dead, I could not stir my lifeless soul to come to thee. But now, since thou hast quickened me, I rise from sin's dark sepulchre. For thou hast made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the dead to live, and so I break the chains of my captivity. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, oh, dear Lord God, all that we have considered this morning, all that we have read, all that we have sung together in our hearts, impress these things upon our souls. Dear Lord, may we all look unto thee. May we see the beauty of thy face, the beauty of the gospel. May we see Christ taking upon himself the punishment for our sins because he loved us and gave himself for us. Oh Lord, forgive us afresh every sin and gather us to thee that we may be safe and secure forevermore. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.